Hello again. How are you? This is Chris. This is episode 216 of the Libertarian Republican Podcast. It's Sunday, April 14th, 2024. I know it's been about 10 days since I did an episode. Those of you who know what I do know that I had a very busy week. It's been a very busy last few weeks, but things should calm down a little bit here for at least a week or two. But I wanted to talk about Ukraine because I feel like this has turned into a totally political, it's all politics now. I think it always has been. It always was. It was always about politics. It was never about, certainly never about America, American national security. Never. It was never about that. You know, like I've been saying for years now about Ukraine, you know, the people in Washington, they don't care about the United States, the national security of the United States. They don't care. They want to, you know, they make more money and they get more power if there's a war. I mean, that's all. That's all there is to it. And the people in the media, they get more ratings if there's a war. So they want war. I hate to sound so cynical, but that's the truth. I'm extremely cynical. And I think everybody is sort of setting themselves up politically. You know, that this is all... The for example, I think the Zelensky government in Ukraine is setting himself up so that when Ukraine loses, and Ukraine is going to lose, there's absolutely no way Ukraine is not going to lose. And now we can debate what lose means. I think Russia will maintain they will maintain control over the Crimea and a big land bridge from Crimea to the Donbass and those eastern provinces. I think that will be Russia. Those areas will be part of Russia. They will have a huge I think they're going to have a big demilitarized zone. I think that's what they want. They want a big DMZ, sort of a barrier. And I think maybe they might push to Odessa. They might just say, you know what, we're going to take Odessa too and deny Ukraine any Black Sea beachfront property, basically. I think that because they know that Ukraine, whatever is left of Ukraine, is going to be a NATO puppet state. They know that. I mean, that's what Ukraine is now. Ukraine is nothing but a NATO puppet state. That's what it is. They don't care at all about, the NATO doesn't care about the Ukrainian people. NATO just wants the territory. That's what they want. They want the territory. Every last Ukrainian man, woman, and child could die, and nobody in NATO cares. Nobody in Washington cares at all. You know, in fact, they probably would prefer it, because then there wouldn't be any locals to sort of, because locals tend to pursue their own interests, and they don't want anybody pursuing their own interests, because they have... You know, the people in Washington have their interests in mind. So, but I think that the Ukrainian government is setting themselves up so that when they lose, they'll be able to blame the West. And I think the Europeans are setting Ukraine up, are basically setting the stage so that when Ukraine loses, they can blame the Americans. Well, you know, the Americans were supposed to give them all that. We don't have any money. We don't have any money. We don't have any weapons. The Americans were supposed to give them all the weapons and all the money, and the Americans didn't do it. So that's why Ukraine lost. And I think that the European governments will use that as an excuse to raise taxes on their people, to get more money, to funnel more money from the European taxpayers into the military-industrial complex of and the diplomatic and the government, basically the government complex. You know, I mean, it's all government, really. Government agents. Oh, we need more government agencies to deal with the Russian threat. You know, and I think it's also part of it is they want to unify the EU, right? I think the big problem that the rulers in Europe see is that they can't act like a superpower because you've got all these countries. You've got Portugal and Spain and France and Italy and Germany, and you know the so the, there's no what they want is a supranational entity. They want the EU to be an entity that is above all of the countries, so that you know that EU entity will be able to just make decisions about, well, we're going to take more money from Spain and Italy and Sweden and UK. Well, UK's not technically in the EU anymore, but they'll probably go back eventually. But they want to they want, and I think NATO was part of that. Like NATO was the goal of NATO was to what was to empower the bureaucrats, the NATO bureaucrats, so that they could just basically boss around the European countries. And I think that's what they do, but they have limits. And so what they want, they can use this Russian threat, quote unquote Russian threat, which isn't really a threat, but they're going to use this threat as a reason for, as a pretext, an excuse to centralize power into fewer and fewer hands at the top, so that there'll be this ruling class, this real, I mean, a real ruling class that is above the government, the national ruling classes. Because you've got the ruling class of France and the ruling class of Italy and Spain and Germany and all these other countries, but there is another ruling class above them that wants to be above them. And I think they'll use the Russian threat as an example, as an excuse to empower that. But they're also going to use the failure of the Americans as an excuse, I think, to increase the power of the European governments, of the EU itself. And say, we can't rely on these Americans to pay all our bills anymore. I mean, to defend us. Because, look, I mean, it's been a great run for them. They've had the Americans paying all of their defense bills. The American taxpayers have been subsidizing the defense of Europe, and it's been great for Europe. But I don't think that really matters that much anymore to the European leaders, because I don't think they really care about where the money comes from anymore. I think they believe they can just print it up, and so and I think they would prefer to just have their own, they'll be in charge of their own defense. I think there's definitely a push-pull going on there, where they're sure they would love it if the Americans would just fund the defense of Europe, but that does open them up to obviously, if Trump wins, and when Trump was president, he was trying to get them to pay more for their own defense, and they hated him for that. And so they do, it does make them dependent on what happens in Washington. And I think there are definitely some people in Europe who don't like that, who don't think that's a good, they think that's bad for Europe. And it would shift power, essentially shift power away from Washington and towards Europe, towards the people in Europe, the ruling class of Europe, which is what they want. I think that when it was useful for them to have the Americans paying so many of these bills, that freed the Europeans up to spend money on the things that they wanted to spend money on. But the, you know, if I don't think that matters as much anymore, because I really think that they believe that they don't really need to worry about that anymore. They can just print money, and they know that. I mean, I don't know. It seems like you have to be a total idiot to really believe that you can print money forever. But so I think that maybe they understand that they can't print money forever, but they also understand that they can basically do whatever they want, and nobody can stop them. Because, I mean, let's face it, nobody can stop them. There are no armed civilians in Europe to rise up and stop them. I think they really believe that they can just do whatever the hell they want, and they don't need the Americans anymore. I think maybe in the past they believed that they couldn't just do whatever they want, but like I've been saying, the Ukraine war is going to be used as an excuse by everybody. For their own, it's being used, and it's going to continue to be used by everybody for their own political interests, their own political gains. And look at the Democrats. The Democrats are going to use the Ukraine war as a reason to, oh, you got to vote against Republicans because look at these horrible MAGA. Not. I mean, most Republicans in Washington are for supporting Ukraine. It's only the MAGA people, the America First people, who don't want to support Ukraine. So, and of course, the MAGA people are the ones who want to reduce the powers of Washington. And the establishment Republicans and Democrats, the Uniparty, they're going to use that. They're going to use the failure of Ukraine as an excuse, as a pretext. For, well, they're just going to blame it on MAGA. Oh, look at MAGA. Oh, Ukraine lost because of MAGA. And it's not about, they know that Ukraine can't win. They know that the Ukraine cannot win. This is all a game. It's all a political game. And, they're using this, for example, the $61 billion, really like over $100 billion that Joe Biden is asking for. Another $100 billion to give to Ukraine. But, and there's this myth, this total lie that, well, if we pass this $61 billion aid to Ukraine, Ukraine can beat Russia. Well, no, they can't. They can't, because, and all you have to do is look at the, where is that money going to go to? Like, where is the money? Where is all of this money going, the $60 billion? And I think once you break it down, and it's written down in the legislation or in the deal. And so you can look at, like, okay, 30 billion of it goes to the US Department of Defense. And so, like, where is that money actually? So it's not going to Ukraine. It's just going to the Department of Defense. Of 18 billion of it is going to replenish what we've already sent to Ukraine. So it's not money. It's not money that's going to be. This is what's, it's not weapon. We're going to send $60 billion worth of weapons to Ukraine. That's just completely, absolutely not what's happening. I think the media, the Democrats, the Uniparty, the Republicans, and everybody in the media, everybody wants you to think that Joe Biden, the Democrats, the Washington, the Uniparty wants to send $60 billion worth of weapons to Ukraine. But that's not true. It's just not true. When you start breaking it down, Four, half a billion of that, $481 million of this deal goes to help Ukrainian migrants come to America and live in America. Half $1 billion. $150 million is going to the Department of Energy to help Ukraine nuclear security, like secure their nuclear power plants, which Russia isn't even targeting. Russia has recently been targeting their the power plants in Ukraine, but they're specifically not targeting the nuclear power plants because it creates a whole mess. They don't want to contaminate Ukraine. They don't want. It's a huge mess to bomb nuclear power plants. 5.7 billion of the money is going to go to USAID, USAID, the humanitarian programs. About 500 million is going to go to the State Department, the U.S. State Department. Actually, another 1.7 billion. So it's about 2 billion goes to the State Department. About 12 billion goes to the Ukraine government, so they can just pay their bills. So they can pay their the parliament members of parliament, the bureaucrats, the firemen, the government. The government employees, government employees in Washington love the government employees in Ukraine, so why not take your money? I mean, they love to take your money and pay themselves. Why would they care about taking your money and paying the government bureaucrats in Ukraine, right? I mean, they don't care. So what I'm saying is that a lot of this money is not going to weapons. I mean, almost. And because there are no weapons, that's the thing. I mean, there are no more weapons. We've given them all the weapons that we can give them. This is why, like I mentioned before, this is why we gave them cluster bombs that don't even use anymore, right? We have these cluster bombs lying around. Well, that's all we have left to give. So we gave them a bunch of cluster bombs. We don't. So nobody. And I think when you listen to like the Duran just had a good episode where they talked about this. They raised this point that if the Europeans, if saving Ukraine was all about money, it was just, well, it just they just need money. Then the Europeans would pitch in the money, because if the Ukrainians just need money so they can buy weapons, then. Well, the Europeans would give them $60 billion. They wouldn't. They don't care, because it's not their money. It's the taxpayer money. They don't care. It's just like the American government doesn't care about. They'll give Ukraine $60 billion. It's not their money. It's your money. It's taxpayer money, and they don't care about you. They don't care about the taxpayer. The European government. They don't care about the. European taxpayers, what do you think they care? Not at all. So if it was a matter of just, some money and buying some weapons and giving the weapons to Ukraine, they would do it in a heartbeat. The truth is that there are no more weapons. We don't have any more weapons that are just lying around that we don't need. We have given them everything, and everybody in Europe, everybody. Greece and everybody in the UK, everybody, even South Korea, everybody has given Ukraine everything that they can afford to give them. If we give them anything else, we'll be depleting. I mean, we've already depleted our own stockpiles of everything, so we're already short on everything. I mentioned this a while back about the UK. I think it was about a year ago. The UK, a British general, I think it was a retired general, said that the UK would run out of ammunition in one day if there was ever a real war. That's how they have nothing left, and they have like 40 tanks. That's all they have. So the Americans, everybody in the West has already given Ukraine all the weapons we can give them. So any more $60 billion is really just, it's just symbolic now. It's just, oh, we're going to give them the money to pay themselves, to pay the government, and we're going to help them, and we're going to maybe give them some food and, you know, humanitarian aid, and we're going to ramp up production here in the United States. But so many of the weapons, it takes like a year, it takes months or a year or even a year and a half to actually produce these complex weapon systems. And, you know, even shells, artillery shells, you know, we can't produce enough artillery shells. We can't even compete with Russia's production of artillery shells. And even if we give Ukraine more and more and more artillery shells, they're running out of the actual artillery pieces that launch the shells, right? So, you know, the Russians are destroying the actual artillery pieces. So they've got fewer and fewer artillery pieces to shoot the shells off with. So, I mean, it's getting to the point where it's just ridiculous. They can't win. Everybody knows they can't win, but it's just symbolic. And the Washington establishment wants to say, we're going to send $60 billion to Ukraine or else Ukraine will lose. And then they want MAGA to stop them. MAGA will say, no, we're not going to agree with it. And then Ukraine's going to lose. And then the Washington establishment people of both parties will blame MAGA. Oh, it's all MAGA's fault. And the truth is that if MAGA should just call their bluff and say, okay, fine. Yeah, we'll give them $60 billion. Fine. Go ahead. Give them $60 billion. They'll still lose. They're still going to lose. You know, and you know, say, we'll give them $100 billion. We'll give them $500 billion. Let's give them $1 trillion. Here, go ahead. Give them $1 trillion. I mean, what are you going to do with all that money? Where is all that going to go? There are no weapons to buy there because they don't exist. And if you want to give it to, you know, Lockheed Martin, you give it to all these defense contractors to make more, you know, HIMARS and Javelins and howitzers and all these other weapon systems, Patriot missile systems and Patriot missiles. It's going to take a year, maybe a year and a half, 6 months, a year, year and a half to even get one new weapon system off the assembly line. You know, to Ukraine. So it's the war's going to be, you know, over by a long shot by then. So, or at least, I mean, it's going to be way too late to do anything, to do any good. So I just think that this whole thing is it's all political. I wish there were some Republicans who understood this, you know, who would call this out and say, you know, this is all politics now. It's all virtue signaling. Ukraine can't win. Even if the American military joined the fight at this point, I mean, I don't think we could even beat Russia because ultimately it's about attacking. And I mean, because what is the definition of victory? Taking back that territory that Russia has taken, that means you're going to have to assault their defensive positions. I mean, it's a disaster. It would be a disaster. And I don't think you can safely assume that our political leaders would refrain from using nuclear weapons. You know, I really don't, I believe that so many of our political leaders are, And the bureaucrats, the warmongers in Washington, I think they're straight up psychopaths and sociopaths, and they really wouldn't care about using nuclear weapons. I don't really think they would even care. They would do it. They would start a nuclear war just because they probably think that, yeah, it'll be bad, but they'll be okay. So, you know, maybe millions and millions and millions of people all over, you know, Russia and Europe and America would die, but they'll be fine. They'll be okay. You know, I think, you know, they'll rule over the ashes, like the old Sun Tzu quote, an evil man would burn his country to the ground to rule over the ashes. And I think that's what we're dealing with in Washington. These are horrible people. So I'm gonna stop there. Those are my thoughts on Ukraine as of April 14th, 2024. Let me know what you think. I'll post this on social medias and all the social media accounts. And I will see you on the next one. All right, bye-bye.